You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Kerry Doyle. Kerry is the director of the Rubin Center here on campus, and she's here to tell us about the new exhibit that they have, plus other things that the Rubin Center might have to offer. Kerry, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me, Louis.
Now, I know that you've been with us before, and people might have read about you, but for people who need perhaps another introduction or to be more familiar with the Rubin Center, tell us a little bit about that center.
The Rubin Center is part of the Department of Art here at UTEP, and it is the home to three different galleries that showcase contemporary art throughout the year. Part of our mission is to bring art and artists from other places here to the campus for students in a border community that doesn't travel and might not have the opportunity to see those kinds of artworks if it wasn't for the Rubin Center. And then we also have a really vibrant roster of programming. So we, like in the last academic year, we did 58 different programs at the Rubin Center, everything from border studies to contemporary art to contemporary literature in Spanish and English. So we complement what's happening in the galleries with conversations, interdisciplinary conversations about art and its place in the world and the topics that some of the artists that come to the Rubin Center touch on in their work.
Well, for people who may not be familiar with the center, as you're mentioning the various topics and talks that you have a very nice auditorium.
We do. Yeah. And it was actually taken offline as a classroom a couple of years ago, and we began using it to do interdisciplinary programming. So we do some of that during the day and some of it in the evening, and we draw an audience from all across campus and then also from both sides of the border community. So
you have a new exhibit that's opening up. It's called Citizen Culture. Tell us about this interesting title.
Yeah. So Citizen Culture, the full title is Citizen Culture, Artists and Architects Shape Policy. And it was organized by the Santa Monica Museum of Art by an independent curator named Lucia San Roman. And Lucia, from the beginning of conceiving this show, approached the Rubin Center about hosting it because she was interested in having this conversation on the border. The show features contemporary artists and architects who began to work on projects that had a social or a political nature. And by the end of working on them, the social or political part of the project became more important than the artistic part of the project. So it's a trend in contemporary art. There's many contemporary artists, and really, I mean, probably since the middle of the 20th century, who have been incorporating social and political topics into their art. And this show tries to take a look at seven artists that went quite deep in those topics, many of them working on their projects for more than a decade and becoming very interested in the social and political outcome and not just the artistic outcome.
Can you tell us a little bit, give us an example of perhaps one of those exhibits?
Yeah. So one of the exhibits that we have, one of the pieces that we have in the Rubin as part of the exhibit is by an artist who is from Chicago named Laurie Jo Reynolds. And Laurie Jo, 10 years ago, began working with a group of families whose sons were incarcerated in a high-security prison in Illinois that had a history of human rights violations. It was called the Supermax Prison. And she began working with those families. They first began sending poetry to the prisoners, and she got other artists involved to do that. And then she began being involved in protests. And eventually, she spent a great deal of her time working nearly full-time in a small office with these families to try to address some of the human rights abuses in this prison. And so what we have at the Rubin Center is actually a total recreation of that office with every last note and poster and picture and protest sign that they had in the original TAMS office. And the artist has completely recreated that space. So when someone goes in, you see the whole history of her activism and the letters from the prisoners and notes from the families. And it gives kind of a full picture of her participation.
I guess people might wonder, if there was a history of human rights abuse at this prison, is it still around? How did this exhibit or the work by the artist help in any way, if it did?
Yeah, it did. And it's not the only criteria for the work that's in the show. But in this case, the Illinois legislature under Governor Quinn began to address some of the most serious human rights issues, like solitary confinement or not allowing the prisoners to go outside for an extended period of time, or verbal abuse as part of a regular practice of kind of keeping prisoners under control. So it actually did have an impact. The show on the whole doesn't put that as the only criteria, but many of the artists that are featured in the show did actually have a positive, real, lasting impact on the issues that they were trying to address.
What are some of the other things they can see?
There's an exhibition that focuses on the two terms, a mayor of Bogota, Antanas Mocas, who used a performance and costumes and and all sorts of artistic activities in Bogota to reduce the level of violence. One of the first things that he did when he took over as mayor of Bogota, at the time that he did this, it was a very violent city, was he took the bulletproof vest that they gave him and he cut a heart out over the space where the heart was as a symbolic way of saying that he was not going to, he was going to have his heart open and not be focused just on defense. He did some very playful things that were extremely effective. Bogota had a very high level of mortality by traffic accidents, and so he replaced some of the traffic cops with performers and mimes that actually started interacting with drivers in a very playful way, and it had a humongous impact on mortalities related to traffic accidents. People began to be more human towards one another, to slow down, to laugh, to kind of recognize when people were sort of behaving in a way that was contrary to the health and safety of other citizens. And so this exhibit features a whole series of acts by Mocus that are artistic in nature. Some of them are art objects. Some of them are symbols or graphic designs. Some of them were performances. But they actually did have a tremendous impact on violence in Bogota over the 2 4-year terms that he was mayor there.
Do you have videos of these people directing traffic or anything like that?
There's a the Mocus exhibit has a series of photographs. So there's, I think, altogether like 40 photographs documenting different actions that he had. The vest is there. He also had a uniform that was a super citizen uniform, like a superhero type uniform that he used to wear. And then lots of tiny art objects that he used in kind of interacting with the populace. He had a little mirror that he used to carry around, and he would ask people, who's going to change the city of Bogota? And they would always say, you would. And then he'd hold up the mirror to their face as to say, you would. So this kind of art object, a symbolic object, but it had a very big impact on the psychology of the people of Bogota and spurred an entire movement where people became more concerned about their roles as citizens and more concerned about collectively taking care of the public space.
As far as you've mentioned only two of the pieces in the exhibit, but how many total do you have?
We have seven different artists or architects that are dealing with different topics ranging from immigration to youth and police, something that is very timely right now. There's an installation by Suzanne Lacey that looks at a 10-year project between youth and police in Oakland. And what we've done to complement the show, which is different than the kind of art that we usually show, but is an important topic in contemporary art and something that we wanted to bring to campus and to open up a conversation with our students and with the community about this kind of art. But we've also complemented it with a series of local talks that deal with all of those issues on a local level. So we'll have, for example, a local talk by Carlos Spector on immigration. We'll have talks on race. We'll have talks on prison here in El Paso and groups that are working to address justice in the prisons here in El Paso. So we hope that the exhibition will be a catalyst for conversation, a broader conversation about these issues.
We'll talk a little bit about the speakers in just a minute, but we mentioned the artwork, pieces that the artists have put together for this exhibit. What about some, give us some examples of some of the architecture.
There's two architects featured in the show. One is an architect named Teddy Cruz, and he actually was looking at the city of Medellin in Colombia and the way in which the mayor, Sergio Fajardo, used architecture to address some of the serious issues of economic injustice in Medellin. His display really kind of talks about the entire Fajardo administration and breaks down like the different ways in which he decentralized public monies, in which he built buildings in poor areas of the city that were meant to open up public space. And then there's another architect named Michael Meltzen, and his piece called Star City is featured, and it is a really unique unique purpose-built structure for homeless men and women in Los Angeles that takes shipping containers as individual units that people can live in and then places them in a configuration that allows for clinics and homeless services and job services to be all placed alongside these individual homes for homeless people. So he creates kind of an enclave where people can have some private space, but where there's all these services that are available as well.
Getting back to these shipping crates, so these crates will be placed in certain areas where people can make houses out of them?
They're placed together in a single building. So he's using the shipping containers as, not the crates, but actually containers.
Okay.
So similar to the kind of architecture that we've seen here recently in the new coffee shop that was just built downtown, I think up in that Time development in Montecillo also has these shipping containers. So he's using them as just building blocks to create a single structure, but that has a lot of both individual space and the opportunity for small scale services for homeless.
We mentioned, or you mentioned actually, that there's going to be some speaking engagements as well. Is the lady you mentioned earlier, Lucia San Roman, going to be speaking, or mostly just local people?
We're hoping to bring Lucia in March. We're trying to finalize a date. She's an independent creator, has been traveling a whole lot this past year, so we're trying to find a date that works well with our student body and with Lucia. But we hope to bring her in towards the end of the show when people have had a chance to see it, talk about it, and have the opportunity to have her meet, particularly with students, to talk about this particular trend in contemporary art. And
how long is the show going to be on, Carrie?
It's going to be at the Rubin Center through April 25th. So it's a long run. It'll go through most of the semester. And as I said, if you look at our website, you'll see that we have a lot of complimentary programming to go along with the show, and we hope people will come and both see the show and also join in on some of those conversations.
Would you give us your website address, please?
Sure. It's rubincenter.utep.edu.
Okay. And you mentioned Carlos Spector as one of the people who's going to be speaking. What are some of the other topics that are going to be addressed and perhaps some of the other speakers?
Juan Ferret is going to talk about his program to bring art and philosophy to prisoners here in El Paso.
Tell us a little bit about what people can expect. Are they going to, when they go and see this exhibit, is there going to be like perhaps, you know, be sure and watch or listen for this coming speaker who's going to address this topic or something like that?
Senda Brahm from the YWCA is going to be doing the first lecture, and that's on race and young African-American males in society today. And she's going to be responding to that work by Suzanne Lacey, in which youth and police are put side by side in a basketball game in a series of interviews in Los Angeles. So Sandra's going to take a look at that both locally and then also nationally, and how that's impacting African-American youth today.
Now, these speaking engagements, these topics that are going to be addressed, is that open to the public or is it?
Yes. Everything we do at the Rubin Center is open to the public and free. So we love when students from all across campus come. It's not just art programming. It's very interdisciplinary programming, and it's also open to the general community. So we tend to get a very mixed audience, and we hope that this particular series are going to bring some new faces to the Rubin Center.
Can you give us directions as to how to get to it?
We're actually one of the easiest places to still reach given the construction, but we're located off of Sun Bowl Drive at the south end of the Sun Bowl Stadium, and you get to us by Dawson Drive. So it's right by the parking building that's by the bookstore there. So Sun Bowl Drive and Dawson Drive, and we're right at the south end of the Sun Bowl Stadium.
Behind the mountain?
Behind the mountain. So Dawson Drive is right behind this. So not the main entrance of the stadium, but the back entrance of the stadium. The parking lot there is P5. And for all of the different lectures we have after hours, after 5 o'clock, there's free parking in the P5 parking lot. During the day, visitors can always park in the 4 visitor spots that are in front of the Rubin Center or in visitors parking right next to the Einstein bookstore.
Carrie, if people have additional questions about what we've been discussing, can you give us the phone number to the Rubin Center?
Yeah, it's 747-6151.
That number again is 747-6151. We've been visiting with Carrie Doyle, the director of the Rubin Center, talking about citizen culture, an ongoing exhibit, and you can go to their website to find out more about the speakers, the guest speakers, and the topics that are going to be going on through April. If you have additional information or questions you need, 747-6151. Carrie, thank you very much for being with us
today.
Thank you,
Luke. Thanks.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Hines.